Four's up. Fourth, and of course, the final hour. Friday's Darren, Donick, and Chase. We have no Darren. We have no Chase. But we have Donick, Derek Mason, and of course, your boy, me, Elijah Campbell. One more hour to go today, and for this segment, Trey Wingo, Caesars Sportsbook. Trey, appreciate you finding some time to join us, man.
Oh, always good to talk to you guys. How are we?
We're fantastic. So the last couple of days, we've been throwing out some questions. That's the question of the day. Today's is pretty interesting. It's if you could change one rule or an old strategy that's extinct, like the wishbone offense, anything like that, in any sport, football, basketball, hockey. Derek wants for us to be able to hit the quarterback for at least 1 year. Willie wants the 45-second shot clock in college basketball. I want to see what one NBA game looks like between two random NBA teams with no three-point line. What would yours be?
Well, that last one is interesting because every time I watch the NBA Finals, all I see are people just throwing up threes.
Oh, so both teams are shooting 45 of them a game. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's the way the game is now. Okay, I'm going to go outside the box here a little bit because this is something that is near and dear to my heart outside of the ability to rib-rattle a quarterback, which I really like, even though Derek's a wide receiver. My goodness, he's here hurting his payday right there. But how many in this room play golf?
I play golf.
Not very well.
But you play, right?
Yeah, play is a loose term. Okay. A loose term.
Yeah, I participate, yes.
All right, okay, you're participating. I got it. Well, let's say you hit a perfect tee shot and ends up in the middle of the fairway, but it ends up in a sandfield divot from somebody else in the middle of the fairway. How is that not ground under repair? Like, you did your job. You hit the ball exactly where you're supposed to hit it, in the middle of the bleeping fairway, become some other schmuck before you, hit the exact same spot, they dug it up and filled it with sand. You should be able to get free relief. Like, it's the easiest fix in all of sports, because there's a rule in golf called ground under repair, and you get a free drop if it's ground under repair. Well, how is a divot filled with sand not the definition of ground under repair? Like, to me, it's the easiest fix of all time, and it drives me crazy.
Hmm. That's a good point. That's our first golf suggestion. We have a text line. People have been texting in their suggestions. This is our first golf one of the day, and that seems reasonable. I'd vote for that.
Yeah, I'd also like to have one game a year in football where there's no passing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wishbone.
You can bring the wishbone back.
Just run the run, because there's nothing more humiliating than moving someone against their will and doing it on the ground. Like, you know, you get hit over the top, Tyreek Hill, or in Tennessee these days, Traylon Burks makes a big play. You can live with that. Nah, you know, he's great. But if you're trying to stud up on the offense and the defensive line, and one line is just whooping the ass of the other one, there is nothing more humiliating than that. So let's have one game every year. You are just running the rock.
An old-school manhandling. Trey, I like you mentioned Traylon Burks, and obviously he is the subject of a lot of discussion here in town, especially with trading A.J. Brown, and the expectations for Traylon Burks are going to be unrealistic, I'll even say, for the first year. It's going to be a lot of expectations that wouldn't have been asked of him if they didn't use the pick that they traded away A.J. Brown to get him. But with the way the Titans' offense looks like right now and the way the AFC is just loaded with receivers and they've made so many changes, like now the Broncos getting Russell Wilson makes them a really good offense. And, of course, the Titans play every team in the AFC West this year. How does this Titans offense stack with the rest of the conference? And do you think they're even, I got a shoe-in to win the AFC South like they have been the last 2 years?
No, because Matt Ryan is now the quarterback for the Colts. I'm not saying that makes them the automatic favorite, but no one's a shoe-in in this division. Like, that's the point. Well, the only shoe-in is that Jacksonville will not win. I'll go out on that limb.
Fair.
But it's gonna be between Tennessee and it's going to be between Indianapolis. But, you know, Matt Ryan is people, and we'll get to Traylon Burks in a second, but Matt Ryan, people need to understand, there's only four quarterbacks in NFL history that have moved teams after throwing for at least 50,000 yards and have won an MVP. Matt Ryan is the fourth. The other three are Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Brett Favre. Manning and Brady each went on to win a Super Bowl with the next team, and Favre should have taken the Vikings to a Super Bowl. They didn't throw one of the worst interceptions in the history of the NFC Championship game the year that the New Orleans Saints went on the run. So Matt brings a lot to the table. As for Traylon Burks, before we get into expectations for him, I think we need to salute John Robinson, the general manager, and Vrabel, the coach, for the way they understood the business of football. Like, let's just look at how what they did as opposed to what the Arizona Cardinals did. Like, they had a number for A.J. Brown that obviously was different than A.J. Brown's camp. And they're like, this is not going to work. So we need to alleviate the pressure that might come with this contract and find a replacement wide receiver. So what they did is they traded A.J. Brown, who was coming off a rookie deal and looking for the big deal, and he got that in Philadelphia, and I think he's going to help the Eagles. But then they went and got a guy in Treylon Burks, who, by the way, I love this kid. He was one of my favorite receivers in the draft. He has triple X hands. Like, the first time he went to Arkansas, they put on double XL gloves, and his fingers split right through them. He has catcher's mitts for hands. The Arkansas trainer said, I've never seen this before. They had to get triple X gloves just to put his hands in the gloves so he could keep them on his fingers. So I love everything about this kid's game, and you're going to get him on a rookie deal. So they did a really brilliant job of managing the business of football. Now take a look at what Arizona did. They could have taken a wide receiver in the draft. Instead, they trade a first-round pick away for Hollywood Brown to appease their quarterback, and they're going to have to pay him. Like, you can't give up a first-round pick for Hollywood Brown and then just get rid of him after a year and not pay him when his contract's up. So they're now saddled with a much more expensive wide receiver who, quite frankly, has been at best average in the NFL. He's had some good games, and you can make sure the argument some of that is because of what we're doing offensively in Baltimore and how they run things, but he has not been explosive. This was a move to placate Kyler Murray, who has scrubbed the Cardinals from his social media accounts, what, twice, maybe three times this offseason? It is bad business, man. That's just bad football business. And the Titans made good football business decisions. And I think Treylon Burks is going to have a really good year.
Now, Trey, is there any concern, because I know here in Nashville, there's some concerns on Derrick Henry, and will he be the same Derrick Henry? And listen, people got to understand, their backs are not walking around or running on the field rushing for close to 2,000 yards every year. Backs are not built like Derrick Henry. Bats are not physical like him. So I think people here are a little bit apprehensive, or they're worried that this foot injury, you know, might start the decline of Derrick Henry. I look at it from the standpoint, even if his numbers are off, say, 1,400 yards, he go from 18 to 14. Well, hell, he's still better than all of the running backs in the NFL rushing for 1,400 yards. But is there any concern that his production will drop that much where the Titans have to shift and change and go to their the back, Hassan Haskins, that they drafted out of Michigan?
Listen, there's always a concern with the running back. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many games has Christian McCaffrey played since he signed that $64 million contract? Less than half of them, okay? And Derrick Henry is a freak. And Derrick, you know, because you played, people need to understand how significant foot injuries can be, okay? I would argue that foot injuries and back injuries in this day and age are way more problematic than knee injuries, because there's all kinds of things we can do for a knee these days. But backs are very tricky. And the foot is the basis of everything that you do. Deion Sanders' career ended because of a toe injury, okay? And Derrick Henry is putting a lot of pressure on those feet. And he's kind of like the Tom Brady of running backs. Like, he shouldn't be doing what he's doing this far into his career. So he's an outlier in every way, shape, or form. And, yeah, you're always concerned about a running back. But honestly, I think we should be more concerned about the quarterback situation than the running back situation. You know, I mean, the difference in that playoff game between the Titans and the Bengals was when Joe Burrow needed to make a play, he made a play. When Ryan Tannehill needed to make a play, he threw an interception that essentially gave the ball back to Joe Burrow. And in this league, there are two kinds of quarterbacks. There are dudes and jags. And a jag is just a guy. And Tannehill is tantalizing in the middle there. He's definitely not a dude. He's not a Herbert. He's not a Mahomes. He's not a Rodgers. He's not a Brady. You know, he's not one of those guys. But he's not just a Jag either. And it's the hardest thing to do because we've seen him do things and the team do well with him at the quarterback spot. But we just can't get over the hump. And so we're in this really weird situation now with the quarterbacks, with the quarterback in Tennessee. He's just good enough, but is he good enough to take you where you need to go? And I don't know if you can answer that question yet.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, Caesar Sportsbook football analyst, talking NFL with him. Trey, the deal that Hunter Renfrow just signed, it's sort of an offshoot of what we're talking about there, the dilemma that John Robinson had in what do we pay a guy like A.J. Brown? So we see that there's still ripple effects of these wide receivers getting really, really good salaries here, good for Hunter Renfrow, but is that a little bit too much for a guy that plays the role he does?
Well, I mean, look at the numbers he put up. I mean, he had a better season. I mean, here's a funny way to look at it, okay? Go look at Hunter Renfrow's body and put that next to DK Metcalf. And who had the better season? Like, in no world should that happen, right? In no way should someone with Hunter Renfrow's body be able to have a statistically better season than someone like DK Metcalf. And I get the quarterback is part of the situation. I understand that. But, you know, last year there was Russell Wilson throwing the ball to DK Metcalf. And, I mean, Hunter Renfrow has, like, the first time he tried out in Clemson, he was on the field as a walk-on, and one of the offensive linemen said, "Hey, I need water." They thought he was the water boy. Like, no, I'm a player. I'm on the team. I mean, like, so, yeah, like, Hunter Renfrow is, like, the outlier of all outliers. But, look, in the way the game is played now, these are the positions that are going to get paid. Your quarterback, your tackles, both left and right, because blindside doesn't really exist anymore because people go up and down the line and they switch positions. Your wide receivers and your cornerbacks. Those are the positions that are going to get paid. Everyone else has got to fight for those dollars because we're never going to go back to the game I was talking about, running the rock all the time. That's just not going to happen, especially with the way the game is officiated. So those are the positions that are going to get paid. So, yeah, I mean, they had to – John Robinson and those guys decided this was our ceiling for AJ, and we believe we can get someone else to be maybe as productive or around that for a lot less money. And then we can have more wiggle room to get things we also need. So, I mean, the Renfrow deal is just emblematic. I mean, look at the money they've given to two wide receivers, the Raiders, with the deal they get to Devontae Adams, and then you throw the Renfrow money on it. They know where they're going. They know where the game is going.
All right, let's finish with this, Trey. Another fun one we kicked around this week. Of course, it is June, right? So we're searching for fun topics. What is the best NFL football helmet, past or present? The design, the helmet, not the uniform as a whole, but just the helmet.
We are in peak list season, aren't we? We are.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Sports radio.
And like, you know that as well as anybody.
We have hit the apex. We are on the Mount Everest. So what the hell are we talking about?
Dog
now?
Days.
Listen. I'm biased on one level because I grew up a fan of this team, but I think you have to admit, the star on the Cowboys helmet is pretty cool. Hmm. Like, it's pretty cool. I mean, you can hate the team, but that star helmet sends a message right away. And I think it's really cool. I would also put up any Chargers helmet. I mean, any of them. Whatever one they want to wear. The lightning bolt is really, really good. Really, really good. So off the top of my head, those would be the first two. Where are you guys sitting?
The Chargers came up a lot yesterday.
The Raiders.
And we even got into the subset of what
Raiders
is the actual
good.
Best. Yeah, the Raiders are in there. Mm-hmm. The old Bronco helmet got a surprising number of votes yesterday, Trey.
Yeah.
With the big D with the horse in the middle of it.
Yeah, yeah. The simplicity of the Packers helmet is also very cool, you know, very, very cool. But, you know, the star, man, I mean – and again, they didn't name themselves this. NFL Films named them this. America's team. Come on, baby. The star.
I thought we'd get more Cowboys votes yesterday from our
listeners. And Packers. Yeah. Those are the two I thought we would get more, the Packers and the Cowboys.
But we didn't get one for either. We did not get one Cowboy or Packer vote yesterday.
The haters,
come on,
man.
Nashville.
The
know
haters.
Haters.
The haters.
Know your history. Come on.
Oh, great stuff as always. Trey, appreciate you coming on, and nice to be able to talk to you from the other side of the glass this time.
Yeah, you got it, brother. Anytime, let me know.
Absolutely, Trey Wingo. He's the man. Long-time NFL coverage at ESPN, now with Caesars Sportsbook. Always good conversation with him. Before we head on out to the next segment, Willie, you have a word with our friends over at QC Kinetics.
All right. We're getting nostalgic with the old football helmets and some of the stuff we've talked about this week. It is that time of the year. It's also the time of the year where you get out and about. The weather's beautiful. It's warm. You get out, you do your thing. It's fishing. It's hunting. It's running. It's hiking. All of that stuff. But as you get older, maybe your body's getting a little too nostalgic and you start to have that joint pain. QC Kinetics can help you with that. You don't, in a perfect world, want to have any surgery or drugs or definitely downtime. That's where QC Kinetics has come up with this great formula that you need to look into because it might be perfect for you. It's helping people here get the fun back. Advanced regenerative treatments that help your joints. Local medical professionals. What is regenerative medicine? It's the hottest thing going. It's basically taking growth factors with healing properties from your own body, highly concentrated, then putting them into your aching joints. It restores the damaged tissue, and it gives you that lasting relief from pain with no surgery, no drugs, no downtime. So stop putting it off. Call QC Kinetics and learn more about it. Get a totally free in-office consultation. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Always good stuff there from Trey Wingo. Nice little update here for the college baseball world. Super Regional starting today. The Fighting David Garrards against the Fighting Roger Clemenses. East Carolina versus Texas, if you will. 7-4 lead for East Carolina. They were up 7-2. Texas starting to close the gap just a wee bit. And there was a highlight play. You'll definitely be seeing on SportsCenter as a Texas right fielder chases a ball in foul territory and basically falls over the railing to make the catch. D-Mace and I were startled.
It's a good catch, man. It's a really good catch. SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Top 10 catch.
Look,
top
I'm
going to
tell you something.
Or D-Mace top five.
D-Mace does not hand out good catch very often with outfielders because, of course, he's a wide receiver. He thinks everything should be caught.
Yeah.
And I remember a couple years ago, I saw Jackie Bradley Jr. for the Red Sox make a great catch. I thought it was like this tremendous catch. I was like, guys, you got to see this catch. Look at this catch. He ends up in the bullpen at Fenway Park. You know, there's that triangle in center field, and he catches it on the run and ends up falling over the railing. D-Mace was like, meh.
not impressed.
That's what you get paid for, man. You know?
That was a great catch.
And you get paid handsomely to make those catches.
You know? You're dead, Willie.
So there you go, Willie. Well, you got to get paid handsomely.
I don't know if you guys saw this. Of course, there's going to be a lot more of these regionals, super regionals, later today. Tennessee plays. Tennessee just got word that they are picking up a transfer for next year. So the shuffle as the college season has ended for most of the teams has already started. Baseball is no different than basketball and football with the transfer portal. It's crazy. Vanderbilt is going to lose two very significant players. They have a lot of depth. Now, you guys have heard Tim Corbin. When he comes on with us, he believes in recruiting high school players and developing them over a long period of time. That's what he enjoys about college baseball. That's what he believes in. And he does not want to have to change the way he does things. And quite honestly, in the past, they've had plenty of guys transfer out just because they have a lot of depth, and sometimes a guy wants to go play, and he's blocked by other good players on the roster. They have that kind of depth. It's the only way you can win a national title is to have tremendous depth. But Christian Little decided to put his name in the transfer portal the other day. A really unique story who, in the day and age where so many players are getting older, right, you had the COVID year where you got a free year, and you have a lot of people delaying for one reason or another, their college eligibility, so rosters tend to get older. He came to Vanderbilt as a high school senior, basically. He left high school early to get to Vanderbilt. His thinking was, well, that will get me draft eligible quicker. Mm-hmm. But he's, as you might expect, he's a tremendously talented pitcher. But he's still, even in his second year, now that that just ended, he was still the youngest guy on the team. He's still only 18 years old. And so he's had some ups and downs as a pitcher for Vanderbilt. So he is transferred. So that's going to be a really interesting guy to track, where he goes and where his career goes from here. And then today they get the news that Carter Young, who last year, going into the final weeks of the season, was a superstar, a switch-hitting shortstop, one of the best fielding shortstops I think I've ever seen. He had a really bad shoulder injury, came back and played in the postseason, wasn't quite the same, and then this year just had an awful year at the plate to the point where he was benched in favor of just different guys. They had to try to spark the lineup. He was hitting close to 200. So he's decided to leave, and that's a guy that would be really important, really interesting guy to see where he goes and what happens to him, because I would have said that guy's a surefire first-round pick about a little over a year ago, and his stock has definitely dropped. But two guys that have sort of first-round talent that have left the Vanderbilt program. So interesting stuff.
Well, it's – I mean, you said Corbin, he's sort of hesitant in changing his philosophy of, you know, getting these players in, developing them, and then, you know, well, while they're developing them, allowing them to play because they've earned that right to play. But in the process, they're developing, and he likes to take his time with it. Well, I mean, it's going to have to change, you know, Willie. I mean, I'm sure Nick Saban is fighting it tooth and nail, you know, but he knows and understands that eventually I got to evolve, I got to change, or either leave the game. And we know Nick ain't leaving no time soon, or he hasn't hinted at leaving. And I think Corbin is the same way. I don't think anyone believes Corbin is leaving anytime soon. He enjoys what he's doing. He enjoys mentoring and watching these young men develop and watching their careers as they go into the MLB. But he's going to have to change, not only because of the transfer portal, but because of the NIL. You know, yeah. So you have to change a little bit what you're doing.
It'll be interesting. I don't know how much the NIL plays into college baseball at this point. I would think it could to a degree. It's got to be a way to at least, you know, let's say you're in a situation where your family's having to pay college tuition to a point. Maybe you have half a scholarship. Remember, you only get 11.7 scholarships for a roster of 35. So you have a lot of financial aid. You have academic scholarships. You try to find ways to minimize the payment, especially at a place like Vanderbilt or Stanford or, you know, a program that's trying to win a national title at a private school where the tuition tends to be higher, especially out of state. So I would think NIL could be a resource for that. I wondered about that with Kamar Rocker. Would they find a way to bring him back as almost like a walk-on, but you find NIL – money to do it. Nobody ever really talked about that. I don't know if Scott Boras just said, no, we're not doing that. But it was never came up. But you just hit on, I think, the question for Tim Corbin going forward. Because I don't think he likes this about the game. But that's what a lot of people are asking, or curious about. If you lose two guys, can you just go find two other guys from other places that aren't happy, aren't getting to play as much as they want, didn't have the year they wanted, looking for something new? He doesn't want to do that. He hasn't done that yet, right? He'd rather just continue to build from within and just let two more guys take those opportunities, and that might work for you. But that's going to be interesting next year because they were a pretty young team compared to other teams this year, but they just lost two guys that would have been very significant contributors potentially next year. And if I know Tim Corbin, I don't think he's just going to go hit the portal and say, all right, those two guys left, give me two more guys.
Yeah, if that's the case, then he's going to have to replenish those from somewhere. But I actually did come up with a thought, too, that the NIL landscape is perfect for recruiting players right now and maybe getting them to stay a little longer I'll talk to you, or I'll discuss that on the other side and why that might be, because I think that might be the ultimate game changer for not just Vanderbilt, but for Tennessee as well, to be able to continue their dominance to where maybe this year is not just a one-year thing with them being as good as they are. On the other side is Justin and Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are your racing station. ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 2 o'clock for the Save Mart 350 at the Sonoma Raceway. You can also join Chase McCabe, the suit, every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for race weekend. NASCAR on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by Nashville Super Speedway and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Talk about Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin and the baseball team adjusting to the new college sports landscape. And I had a thought during that segment, too, that I want to run by you guys. And, Willie, you can speak on this really well because you lived it, right? So for the NIL landscape, if Tim Corbin's not going to maybe address or attack the transfer portal, I should say, and rebuild rosters that way, I think the NIL landscape would benefit Vanderbilt baseball players probably more so than it would other schools in the conference that are reliant on football for money making or reliant on football to be the more successful programs. Mostly because Vanderbilt baseball is the most successful program on campus. They are a blue chip program of their own right. And if you are a player at Vanderbilt who, really good college player, thinking about going pro early, but you're not going to be a top 7-8 round pick, is it possible you could make more money being at Vanderbilt and playing for Tim Corbin than it would be to play in low A or rookie ball?
Time will tell on that. I've thought about that a lot in terms of how NIL could work for baseball at a high-profile program. One thing that Vanderbilt's got going, and now if you watch Major League Baseball broadcasts, which I do, I flip around all the time, you'll have an announcer say something like this. Let's just pick a guy. There's so many of them now, you know, they get lost. But let's just use Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler from that Vanderbilt pipeline, you know, you hear that all the time. It's become sort of second nature. The fans of the game almost know that there's just a lot of Vanderbilt players, especially pitchers, that have come up through the program and have gone to be really good players in the major leagues. Mike Minor just resurfaced the other day for the Reds. He didn't pitch very well. Sorry about that.
No one pitches very well for the Cincinnati Reds. Yeah. If he gives us anything, if he has a pulse, yeah, we'll take him on the mound.
There's a lot out there. Whereas in the early years, you know, when David Price made it and Pedro Alvarez and that first group that came through the Tim Corbin chain, that was a big deal for all those guys. Now there's so many of them, but the brand is there. So how could Vanderbilt use that to their advantage? Maybe not just to keep players there a year longer, but that's certainly one thing you could explore, Elijah, but also maybe to help get some guys, you know, money, take a little heat off of their families for tuition, you know, for need, you know, it's all need based what you can get, but it's probably wouldn't hurt to be able to do that. I don't know, but you know, Vanderbilt has talked about this partnership they've got. Notre Dame is in the partnership with this NIL group, this firm that they, you know, we talked briefly to Clark Lee about it. I'm curious to know where it's gone from there, but they have their sort of vision on how they want to use NIL for all their sports. And that is one thing that's important, I think, for the university, is they want all of their athletes to try to find different ways to benefit from NIL. You know, obviously if you can make extra money, that's an obvious one, but if you can build relationships with people down the road to help you when you're done playing, that's another avenue. But also, what about the unique sports like baseball or golf or tennis where Vanderbilt excels in? How do you use it to your advantage there? These are all things we're just getting started on, all this stuff, but I think it's definitely something. Like Derek, you were saying, you got to evolve, right? NIL is forcing everybody to evolve, even if it's not exactly how you like it.
Well, it's going to have to be. It's. I mean, if you look at college football, basketball, baseball, I mean, just any college sport, there was a period where there was a transition in that sport where you had to, as a coach, you had, or a player, you had to sort of change with the times. Now, some coaches, you know, did it kicking and scratching, but they did it. They had to. We made fun and talked about, you know, hey, bring the wishbone back and the triple option. Yeah, but those triple option teams, they had to transform because the leagues were getting away from that. Teams were scoring too fast, you know, with wide open spread offenses. And they found that, okay, a triple option team can't beat a spread option team, you know, if everything's equal. You know, if we both had the same type defense, then you're going to score. It's going to take me longer to score than it's going to take you. Because one bomb down the street, down a sideline, you score. It might take us 10 plays to score, you know, and we might not end up scoring a touchdown. We might end up scoring a field goal, you know. So teams had to evolve. Teams, offenses had to change. What did universities and you know, leagues started to do? Well, we got to stop hiring as head coaches, defensive-minded coaches. We got to start hiring offensive-minded coaches. Why? Because everything is shifting. They're starting to pass more. Okay, they're starting to pass more. Well, we got to get our defense up to par to what they're doing passing. You know, we can't play the 85 Bears type of defense anymore. You can't. You can't run man-to-man, stack the line of scrimmage every play. Just can't do it, you know? Because why? Because offenses, the league has changed. College football, the league has changed. College baseball, the league is changing. So you got to be able to change with the league. You can't stay status quo. That's why I say, you know, Corbin, he may not want to change. He might do it kicking. He's going to do it, but it might be kicking and scratching. But he's going to have to change.
And that's what everybody's going to be curious about. Now, I think he really likes some of these recruiting classes, and it's been really unfair. This is something he's been saying. And I can relate with a 16-year-old that would love to play college baseball somewhere. Right? He's got two more years of high school, so I'm hoping this continues to shake out. But if you look at the high school classes – that were seniors last year or the year before, they got a tough deal. First of all, they missed the whole season of their high school career, mm-hmm. right? You don't get to stay in high school an extra year.
You don't get to redshirt in high school. Yeah,
they just lost the season. Then they had to deal with the fact that everybody in college got to stay if they wanted to, right? So you got this log jam of rosters that were completely out of their control. So there's a lot of really good baseball players out there that have had to sit for a year or two behind all these guys while you use older players because coaches want to win. It's an advantage to be 22, 23, and be 4 or 5 years older than a kid coming out of high school. So I think it's created a problem. So I think Tim Corbin, in a perfect world, would love to let some of these guys he's recruited have a chance to fill those spots and play. But you know, you got your program at the highest level. You want to win a national championship. It's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. You want to be fair to everybody, but it's a tough, tough thing.
If you missed anything from the week that was on Darren Donick and Chase, you'll hear it next. Best shots of the week next here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Tune in to 102.5 The Game every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. to hear Elijah Campbell, I'll be damned, that's me, D.J., and Michelle Knezovic discuss Tennessee sports and catch you up on everything you might have missed during the week. Campbell and Knezovic, 9 to 11 on Saturdays, which is tomorrow, which is also me.
Absolutely. You tomorrow.
Me tomorrow. This voice again. I'm going to burnt you out on it by now and give you 2 more hours of it tomorrow morning. But if you've missed anything from our shows this week, we've got you covered because we have it all wrapped up in a 4.5-minute condensed version on Best Shots of the Week.
Let's sneak one more in before we head east. Let's go to Josh. Josh, what do you know?
I work for a $1 billion company, give or take, and they are still running off the system that I think was made in the early 90s by Dale Will Downer. You would think that with all the money and the upgrades, they would upgrade their computer system, but they haven't. So that's what I know. If you're making $1 billion a year, you should at least be able to upgrade your system. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, Josh. Is Josh in a rainstorm?
I couldn't tell what he was saying. Something about $1 million and upgrading your
system. Yeah, systems, which might be a Wi-Fi connection, which might be cell reception. I don't know.
Maybe.
That call might go hand in hand with how it sounded.
Maybe he was in a really bad rainstorm. I don't know, but it was hard to hear.
Here's what I know, man. So I consider myself a day one 102.5 The Game listener. And, you know, a lot of people hang their hats on that they were founders of this and that. I've been listening to all the shows, and I just love it. I love doing it. The Saturday show with Elijah and Michelle is, y'all got to scoot over, man. That's during the week. It's coming. Like, they are so freaking good together. And hopefully, if people haven't had a chance to listen to them, they'll do that. But I was entertained the entire time on Saturday. So this is what I know. They're coming up, man.
All right.
Thank you, Adam.
To Elijah and Michelle.
It's some experts to really get the answers. He doesn't have the answers to our questions.
No, he doesn't. Go have a meeting about the glass, Chase.
It's going to be put on the kitchen.
No, we have to have a meeting about the meeting that we're going to have. then we'll do that.
A lot of meetings.
Oh. So, if you weren't watching last night.
Man, what a
man,
game.
Man, did you miss a third period of a hockey game?
Holy cow. It had everything. It had people swearing on the air. It had reviews.
I mean, honestly.
What is going on?
Can we just skip to Friday at noon? Don Kaharsky, like you.
Don.
Come on,
Coho.
Man.
I don't know him well enough to call him Coho. All those guys call him that.
I'm now losing interest in Don.
Well, listen. He seems to be one of those guys that everybody kind of likes. But really. Multiple times when he's come on during the course of the season, I try to give him slack because it's a new thing for the NHL to do, and it's a smart thing. They need a referee for the big games.
Do they?
To come in and do the things
or
that they're asking him to do.
Somebody that knows how to do it right.
Okay, let me. Well, that's where
and
I'm going.
Doesn't cuss on the air.
Well, doesn't now. Honestly, I do wonder. That's the last game on TNT, so. They now have a chance to reevaluate that position. I do wonder if he'll be back, honestly, because that's
what
grounds
is he
for
thinking.
You can't do,
you can't say holy moment. Snikes on the air.
Spinning image. I don't know about that. I just sent one for.
Hey, the hairline's going back. So
No, my hairline's gone. It's gone. Hey, I don't even need an edge up anymore.
I do notice the 76ers pictures, Sadale still going with the full hair. And then when later in his career he's with the Lakers, he does go with the Charles Barkley shaved head.
Man, I got to come up with a name with you, man. That is so mean. It breaks my heart. Out of everybody, I never thought that Willie would
talk wasn't about Willie. I took that from Elijah. And I just wanted to do my own investigation.
This is the team sport, it's the team sport.
Come on. Hey, see, I didn't laugh at you when you got hurt playing handball. Maybe you was playing handball.
Yeah,
you hurt your shoulder.
Pickleball. Yes. Yeah.
What the heck is pickleball, man? I was on your side. I'm like, man, he's an athlete. He's tough. Nah, man.
Elliot, you're a scholar and a gentleman, and as always, you killed it. We appreciate you joining us today, man.
Could you tell I was golfing?
Wow, that's some serious multitasking.
That's a true pro. That's a true pro.
That is.
You can't really tell that you hit three shots. During the course of the interview, did any of them go into the woods?
You know what? I'm playing a par five right now, and I hit them all clean, but one did go out of the water.
Now that's next level multitasking. That's how you know you've gotten the radio hit thing down to a science. That's how you know you've mastered it. Oh, good stuff. Well done. Nick Kieser behind the glass his last few days for putting together best shots of the week. Elliot Friedman. Doing radio hits while he's golfing. I can't golf in general, let alone be able to carry meaningful conversations while I'm golfing.
Oh, I didn't know he was golfing. Man.
He pulled it off.
Multitasking at its best.
A couple minutes here at the end. Game four of the NBA Finals tonight, which, of course, you can hear on these airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Presented by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. What do we expect? I actually kind of have a feeling the Celtics go up 3-1 in this series. They're going to win in six or seven games. They're too good defensively. If Robert Williams is healthy and playing, I like the Celtics tonight, because when they throw out those two bigs, whether it be Grant Williams, Robert Williams, or Robert Williams, Al Horford, or maybe Grant Williams, Al Horford, the Warriors' small ball is no match for that.
Yeah, I just think the Celtics are too big and too physical and athletic. This sort of works in their favor, because this series isn't physical. The last few series they had played, whether it been the Nets or
Miami
Heat, yeah, especially Miami, Milwaukee. They played Milwaukee.
Yeah. Tough that one out.
Those were physical series. This series isn't physical. This is just go up and down the court, play, make some baskets, and, you know, if they continue to shoot the way they have been shooting and playing the defense the way they have been playing, sadly to say, I can't see Golden State beating them, especially Draymond's not playing well.
Yeah, he hasn't given them much.
And no.
You talk about things changing. The NBA changed when teams realize 3 points is worth more than two, and they're going to shoot 53s a game both sides. Mm-hmm. But if the Celtics win the series, you're going to see more teams drafting 6-7 wings who can guard and guard multiple positions, and that's how teams are going to be built. That might be just as impactful as what the Warriors did. Willie, what are you thinking for tonight?
I'm going to go Warriors. I think they're going to find a way. It's going to seesaw back and forth. I've just been watching the Celtics throughout the postseason. It seems like they kind of want to go the hard way. I like their chances in the series, but I like the Warriors tonight.
All right. Good week of shows, fellas. We'll do it all again next week here on Darren Donick and Chase. Coming up next, as always, Jared Stillman, Caroline Fenton. Stillman and Company with Caroline Fenton coming up next. You listen to ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, in the Game Nashville app. Closing time. Time for you to go.